you think, you look on our roads, there are thousands and thousands.
And it is a real sign of the times, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Chinese have come in and they are dominating. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Autoalis podcast, home of automotive financial mistakes, our life in cars, and your questions answered today. Rory, Taylor and I will fill your ear and your eye holes with discussions about what we've been up to. We'll play How Much That? We bring it back, How Much That? Taylor's going to be in charge of that, and we'll try to help a couple of you guys with your keep or quit dilemmas. But before that, a massive hello to Tony Alderston, who, inspired by us, is picking up his 05 plate Boxster S. John Bolzer, going for a hernia operation on the 8th of November.
Minor procedure.
No, major surgery. Minor procedure. It's going to be out for months.
It's all right, John. You'll be back to it later on in that day.
You've had one of them, haven't you?
I have, yeah. And John, you will be back home the same day, and it's like nothing ever happened.
I know this is a silly question, but do all hernias come through your belly button?
No.
Or can they be elsewhere?
No, they can be all over the shop. They can be in your gut and all over. Oh, it's usually like gut, abdomen, and it's usually your groin area as well. Okay. You know, in that little bit there, the V, you get lots there. John, you'll be absolutely fine. It's a minor procedure. I can say that now because I'm over it. I can poke my belly button now and it doesn't hurt.
So just not with that arm though.
No, no, my shoulder's knackered,
What was all that big deal about then, back when you were saying, I can't lift this wheel, two weeks after the thing?
Yeah, but you can't actually lift stuff because you've just been stitched up, so you can't lift stuff for a while.
But apparently it was a minor procedure.
Yeah, but they say you can't lift anything for like 6 weeks.
But this went on for months.
Yeah, of course I'm going to milk it.
It still goes on today.
I'm going to milk it, man. Of course I am. Anyway, shut up. John, you'll be fine. We've got Kenny Smith, who's loving all of our recent series, and so are we. Daniel Bambrick in the midst of a big turbo project on his Alfa Mito. DAF technician Matthias, who informs us that their new trucks need oil services every 200,000 kilometers.
That's mad.
Remember when we were talking about oil services and how it's like 20,000 miles is crazy?
That can't be good for it. Like, I know it can, but should it?
Oh, well, Matthias says it's all right. So that's his job. So we'll allow it.
That's a long service interval. Isn't it?
We've got Scott Seymour, who's emailed in to try to sell me his R56 Cooper S after he heard me say last time that I'd never buy a Mini, and I stand by it. So Scott, don't want to buy it.
You should buy it.
Don't do it, Scott.
No. We've got Ty Oliphant repairing forklifts. We've got Leo Farquhar also trying to sell me a ropey R56 Mini Cooper S. Stop it. And we've got Rory's mum, Jackie. Any Jackie news?
Not really. No.
Okay.
No, she's not.
Just doing mum things?
Yeah, just being a mum.
Okay. She's been out doing burnouts in that jazz again.
You know, she still loves her jazz.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
That is. Anyway, let's move on to what we've been up to. It's been, I'm going to start.
Okay.
Been a busy couple of weeks. Put it this way, I can't count the amount of cars I've bought on one hand. It takes me like 2.5 hands to count how many cars I've bought.
It's 11.
It's not 11.
It's 11.
It's 8.
No, it's more than that.
No, it's not. It's 8.
It was 8 before is enough. We counted the one that you got from Tom Lempfall.
Which one was that? No, it was 8. That was included in that one. It's 8. Anyway, 8 cars is obscene.
Can you tell that we've got a new storage unit?
Yeah. Yeah, we're filling it right up. However, I've been getting rid of cars as well. So I've got rid of 3 cars in the paddock.
Yeah.
So we're making space.
There's some more you need to get rid of.
No, we'll get onto that as well. We're definitely not.
Right.
Because I've been enjoying my purple Range Rover 4.2.
You should sell it.
Why should I sell it?
You should just sell it.
Why?
You should sell it to someone that's going to, you know, cherish it and
all right, if anyone's out there and wants to buy one, just let us know.
Someone who's going to look after it. Someone who's cool enough and dapper enough to actually pull that car off.
Yeah.
Because none of us sitting on these sofas are.
You should sell it to me.
Why?
Because I like it.
I don't care. I know you like it, but that usually isn't your reasoning.
It's...
It's...
Egg.
It's
I
egg. Want
to, I just like the
I know,
car.
I know.
Sell me the car.
No, it's not going to be sold to you. Although it is a 10 grand car, but I'll take 8.
It's just wasteful.
Why?
Because it's just sitting in that paddock.
No, it's not. I've been driving a lot.
No, and it'll go.
Trust me, I know I've been driving a lot because I've been at the fuel station.
And then Rory will just end up scrapping it.
No,
because that's what he does with all of them.
I wouldn't scrap that. That's a Range Rover.
Isn't it?
That's still worth money every day.
You say that's Alex's Range Rover.
Yes.
Yeah. Alex's one true love Range Rover.
No, that is Taylor's. Sorry, I mean Alex's.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa. I'll sell it to you for £8,000. we'll then move on.
Sell it.
It's not for sale.
Sell me the car.
No.
I don't know what you want. You will have it and then you'll do your classic Taylor thing and within a month go, I've sold it.
No.
I'm selling it.
I don't sell cars anymore.
You hoard.
I do hoard.
You're a whore.
I do hoard.
That's something we both have in common, isn't it, at the moment, Taylor?
Why is that, Rory?
Well, we counted up our cars and we realised there were quite a few. And some counted up their cars and realised there were more than he even remembered.
Yeah, I forgot that.
But we will move on to that after Alex's thing.
Yeah. Bought Range Rover and I'm loving that. I've also bought the UK's highest mileage Porsche 911, which you guys will see on the main channel next week. It's very ropey. The mileage starts with a 3 and it's on its original engine. It is absolutely mental. It was on Auto Trader on piston heads all over the shop a couple of weeks ago. So that is now in my hands. It's currently on the trailer. We've got big plans for that. So if you want to see that car, then check out the main channel episode next week on Thursday. Got
and
filming
it's
to
rusty.
Do with that. And what?
And it's
very rusty. It really is. Yeah. I've also bought, or we have also bought, well, Rory on my behalf has bought a Discovery 4.
Another one. Third time's a charm, right?
Yeah, but if it breaks again, then you have to pay for everything.
Has he not told you?
Does it count that it's already broken?
It counts.
Okay, we haven't bought a car then.
We have. It's in the paddock.
Okay.
All right, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. We've bought a Discovery 4, very, very low mileage, very, very high spec for a very, very good price. However, it does have a slight issue. Rory, what's that issue?
The engine's gone.
Yeah. At 22,000 miles.
Although we do believe there's been some sort of servicing issue or something like that where it just hasn't. Something has happened.
No, it's been serviced regularly.
No.
Has it been filled with sand instead of oil?
No, there were 2 years where it sat for some reason, which is weird because it's only got 21,000 miles on it.
And that's what breaks an engine?
Well, no, but I think something has happened in between that time.
Okay.
Something odd is with this car.
Okay. Well, it came out of factory with a Land Rover badge on it. That's what happened.
Fair. But anyway, we're going to pop a new engine in.
We're just going to plop it in,
Who's going to pop a new engine in it?
So
I'm going to help as well. I'm excited for
I don't want you to.
Tom Lenthal gave us a very good deal on this car.
Yeah.
With the fact that he knew the only reason he gave us a good deal was Taylor was going to have to take the body off a Land Rover and then have to do an engine swap. Yeah. And he gleefully was saying this because he wants to come round and just watch and then do his classic Tom Lenthal thing going, oh, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know,
he's going to be sitting like there. He's going to sit there on the sidelines with his cup of tea and his vape.
Yeah.
He's just going to be heckling you from the sides.
Do you know what? I would actually genuinely happily put an engine in that.
All right, well, we'll do
if you all buggered off and left me alone.
You've got 24 hours.
That's fine. Yeah. As long as you bugger off and leave me alone.
It has to, how about we put an M57 in it?
I really just don't want you squeaking your way around the workshop, getting all the wrong tools out and trying to put things on and then leaving all the shit everywhere.
I will say, the only two people who've used tools have been you two so far. And we are already missing tools in our new tool chest. Yeah.
What? Have you been choring tools?
Purposely have not used the new toolbox apart from the tape measure in the bottom drawer.
Oh yeah, and why do you need a tape measure?
And that toolbox started to be used on the most recent build, which is your Land Rover, and there are things missing.
Don't point at me.
We're pointing at you.
Don't point at
me. There's only one person who's been using it except
for him. Well, they're going to be around, aren't they? They're going to be on the floor drobe.
The floor drobe.
Right, anyway, let's move on. We've gone live with our Mapwood tickets, 23rd of November. So tickets are selling very quickly. We've got 1,000 tickets. It's one of those cases, if you know about Mapwood. So if you do know and you want to come along and support, it's going to be a fantastic event on the 23rd. And we have also gone live with our Christmas meet tickets at Dunkerton's on the 2nd of December. And they are 63% sold already.
Really?
Yes, it's like 2 days ago.
I tell you what, Dunkerton's, if you haven't been there, it's a venue in near Cheltenham. And it's basically got about 7 different food vendors inside with a massive bar linked to it.
Yeah.
And then you just grab what your individual food and then you then all sit on the bar.
Do you get the buzzy things?
You do get the buzzy things. You get the buzzy things. You don't have to sit in what like next to it. And then you just drink beer while waiting for your food. And it's such a cool environment as well. I honestly cannot wait for that.
So if you want to come to that, amazing food. We're going to be up on stage as well, doing a bit of a podcast.
Yep.
a bit of a chat with you guys. Mike Fernie, I think, is going to come along as well.
Is he?
He's got some news, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah.
Oh, we've got a news section. Maybe you should add that in later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What, shall I have a YouTuber news?
Yeah. YouTuber news. Also on the weekend, did something wholesome family related, went to Kew Gardens for Halloween.
You are obsessed with Kew Gardens.
Well, we got a ticket.
If you ever want to meet Alex,
rinse it.
Just hang around in Kew Gardens.
If you want to meet me, I do weekly meets at Kew Gardens, yeah. No, Kew Gardens really put on a good show.
Okay.
They really do. Christmas as well is fantastic. So, yeah, if you want something to do with the little ones, which Rory, you'll probably be asking me advice in about, you know, like little ones and what to do.
Bailey, yeah.
Bailey, yeah. What, your depressed dog?
He's not depressed.
He's so depressed.
Bailey is having the time of his life.
Yes, when you're not at home.
No.
Why do you call him a depressed dog?
Because every time...
Taylor, did he look like a depressed dog?
No.
Yeah, it's because Ellie was around. He loves Ellie. He hates Rory. He hates you. So yeah, that's pretty much me. Bought lots of cars and I'm very excited. Oh! We're forgetting the big purple elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah, that is large.
It's large, but I'm not sure we can address it yet.
Oh.
We haven't addressed any of those cars.
I know. So we've all bought cars now for a new series in the new year. I'm looking at it. It's chrome. There's lots of chrome bumpers on it. It's purple. And there's a big, like, ornament on the bonnet.
Brilliant.
And it's large.
So that is for three luxury cars.
Don't give the game away, man. I never said luxury. It could be a Picanto.
Yeah.
With bits.
It's our three luxury cars, and we're going to drive all the way to, well, I think we've just decided today, it's going to be Casablanca in Morocco.
Yeah.
Or the Sahara.
We might go to the Sahara. Cause it's
but either way, miles. They're going to Africa.
They're going to Africa, yeah. And my car currently doesn't run particularly well, but it was dropped off yesterday. Shout out to Kyle, our friend Kyle.
Yeah.
And also Jamie.
They had the worst journey.
So they left at 9 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
They drove to Yorkshire. They looked over the car for me because we were very busy yesterday. And then they managed to leave at 4 p.m. And they should have got back at 8. They got back at 3:30 in the morning.
Mad,
because the M40 was closed because apparently there was a massive accident. Lorry had gone across the central reservation. And this morning, the M40 was still shut.
Yes.
So yeah, big shunt. And they had to actually turn around on the M40. Shall we move on? Rory, what have you been up to?
So Bailey update.
Yeah.
He's just a great dog.
A pup date.
Yeah, pup date.
Yeah.
So we've always kept him downstairs.
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
It was working out all right. Ellie decided that we've always been putting him in our little conservatory bit.
Yeah.
And then we shut the door and then we leave him in there and he sleeps quite happy. Mm-hmm. And then Ellie decided over the last few days to maybe just open it up and then let him have the downstairs of the house.
Oh, okay. So he's taking over downstairs already?
Well, yeah, he's taking over.
Yeah.
And anyway, about midnight, the night before last,
just
hear this little scurry come up the stairs. Bearing in mind, he doesn't come upstairs.
Yeah.
And then he runs and then jumps on the bed.
Oh.
And then... Ellie then goes, oh, and then she quickly scurries him back downstairs and she comes back up and then looks at me and I just look there with my smug face on and she's like, don't say a word. Because I was saying that we should maybe leave the door shut.
Yeah.
Turns out we should leave the door shut.
Yeah. But you weren't smug though.
I wasn't smug. No, I didn't say anything. Yeah. I'm sure she's not listening to this right now. No. Hello.
I love you. So question, did he run up the stairs? Were there perhaps fireworks nearby?
No, I think he just wanted to play.
He wants to assert his dominance over you.
There was no. That dog, you know what? To say that we... You know, obviously, are very car people, car YouTubers, stuff like that. I've never met a dog who does not want to be near a car more than him.
Oh, really?
Oh, trying to get him to get in a car is getting a proper problem.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, like, if you, he knows when he's getting in a car and you're like, come on. And he will do everything and he will sit there.
So, question, which car is it you're trying to get him into?
Any car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like your cars, are they owned by you?
Yeah. We were trying to get him in the Mini.
Doesn't want
to. He didn't like the Mini.
He doesn't want to be near you.
No.
He doesn't want to get in your car.
No. He didn't want to get in Ellie's car either.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ellie's, what's Ellie's car?
The Range Rover.
Okay. The Range Rover.
But yeah, he just didn't want to get in the car. I tried to get him in the Mini thinking that maybe a smaller car where he could see us might be better. No, I just, it made me feel even worse because I turned around and I could just see him looking terrified in the back, like,
oh.
But yeah, that's a Bailey update for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, good pup date.
Yeah, what else has happened? My Mini is great.
What's wrong with your Mini, Rory?
It's great. I just said it's great.
What was that video you sent? Where there was lots of bubbling.
No.
And there was lots of spray up the inside of the bonnet.
Yeah, what? And there was lots of you saying, oh, the bloody head gasket's definitely gone now.
You're great.
Yeah, there was that, wasn't there?
Yeah, the head gasket is gone.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, slash, we think it was probably always gone on it.
Oh, dear.
And it may have just got probably a bit
Can we
worse.
Put it on a dyno and just send it and see what happens?
No, because it's still savable at the moment.
No, it's already had a head gasket done.
Can we just kill it?
Yeah.
I think that needs to be scrapped.
But I think we know what's... I think the engine's got very hot because of this cat, and I think it's just nuked itself again.
That wouldn't...
No. That is a thing. That is a thing.
So painter Chris, he was right.
What?
Now it is just a really nice parts car. So we should part it out and see how much money we can make.
Or
yes, there's a second part to the series.
Or we put a K20 in it.
No.
What else has happened? Oh. I've got another car.
Another car.
If it's British, no one wants to hear about it.
It's British.
It is British. I know it's British.
How many British cars have you got now?
British?
I believe it's
one,
seven.
Two, what?
No.
You've got nine.
Range Rover, Defender.
It's seven.
You've got nine
seven British cars.
Seven British cars. Yeah.
Oh my God. Jaguar, Triumph.
Jaguar, Triumph, Land Rover.
No, there's another Land Rover. There's four Land Rovers.
No, there's not, is there?
Range Rover,
Defender.
Oh shit, hold on. Now I'm getting confused. Three Land Rover products.
No, three Land Rover products. Yeah. Aston.
Triumph.
What am I missing?
Jaguar.
Mini.
Mini? Yeah. That's not British.
It is
a British brand.
No, you can't call that a British
car. All right, six. No, you six and a half.
It's a Mini.
No. That's not a British car anymore. It used to
it's
be, it's
made
not.
In Britain.
It's a German car, man.
Is Mini still British? No, I'm going with it. So seven British cars and two German.
Okay, so talk to us about the new purchase.
Well, you know, obviously, we've bought a new crew car.
Yeah.
That sort of left one of the Discoveries a bit lonely on its own.
Yeah.
Also, I've got Blue Pete.
You do have Blue Pete, yeah.
I've got
yeah.
Blue Pete.
Have you been grooming me?
I have.
For a what?
Yeah, what?
You don't admit. You don't admit that so easily and so readily.
Sorry. You've been saying
for a while, oh, we need to get rid of Blue Pete. It's just a liability. We just need a Disco 4. And now you've got your wicked way, don't you?
He's been working on this project for a while.
He's been working me over.
Yeah. This is Project Disco.
Project Kirsten.
So, Alex has done me an extremely good deal.
Done him a solid, very generous deal. Yeah.
And I now have Blue Pete, which, lovely car. Mm. But I have realised I bought another project car.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
It's really cool though. I mean, a V8 swapped Discovery should be the perfect car, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Especially for you.
You know what? It's the more that I thought about it, it was like, it did make sense at the time to do it as the crew car. But then the more you thought about it and the more that we were like, if we were 2,000 miles away from home on one of these road trips and something went wrong, because it's such a unique build, there's no one would have had anything, parts or anything like that that we could have done.
And the fact it gets 22 mpg...
That is also not great.
It's quite long and a very long road trip.
And also, I will say, the MPG is bad, but also the fuel tank is not massive.
No.
Which I did really? Yeah, so I had under a quarter of a tank and I put in, what did I put? I put 70 quid in yesterday and that took me to a full tank.
Because the Range Rover tanks are bigger than the...
Range Rover's much bigger. Much bigger. So the Range Rover's like 195 litres. And I think that's only a 70-litre tank.
I think it might be 80, no?
No, I think it's like a 70 or 75.
Okay. Which isn't enough for an engine like that.
No, not for a massive V8.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, I've got it. And now I have a dilemma.
Yeah.
Do I?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. So
sell the car.
Sell it. Get rid of it. Free up some money and invest it
I'm still on the fence here. My Defender is my Overlander vehicle.
Sell it.
Well, why don't you make Blue Peter your Overlander
vehicle? But I could make Blue Peter the Overlander.
I could.
And then it probably would do everything better than the Defender.
Yes.
You think?
Except.
Breakdown.
It wouldn't be as cool.
No, I think I think your car's cool.
No.
I don't think your car's cool.
Look, it is in Birmingham. Look, you should know. You're a fan of Birmingham cars now.
No, the Defender's meh. I think the Discovery is cooler.
No,
it is because of the engine.
Yeah.
If it was a stock car, fair, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. And the Defender has been, like, I have done everything on that car myself. Like,
it shows.
That's why it shows. It shows. Yeah, really shows. Really, especially the paint.
Have you seen the woodwork? It's terrible in the back.
Yeah. But it's my first big project car that I've gone through, like, from like what that car started to what it is now.
Okay, well, you've got six other project cars. Get rid of it.
No. But that one's like, I don't know. That I would say, I know it's crazy to you guys, but that is in comparison to your 6 Series and Phil.
Mental.
Oh, absolutely.
No, we would never consider selling those cars. The fact that you're considering
But
the difference is we would never talk about it.
No, but the thing is, in my logical brain, because, you know, that's the
you
way
don't
that I
have
work.
Have a logical
no,
brain.
No, but I do
doesn't
have...
doesn't even have a bloody brain.
I have a logic.
He's talking shit.
And in my brain, yeah, it's screaming, sell it.
Yeah.
But my heart is like, no.
Are you finally admitting that you're emotionally attached to a car?
I think I am, yeah.
Which means that he's probably going to sell it just to prove himself. just to prove that the brain will always beat the heart.
Rory has finally seen emotion in a car.
I know. He's going to sell it.
There
now.
Is no sense behind that car at all. Like, it makes no...
Like most of our cars, Rory.
I know, but that one especially. Like, it does everything bad. It just does... A Defender is a terrible car. Everyone knows.
Finally, is admitting this.
Oh, thank God.
But I love it.
Okay.
I do love it.
Well, then you've got another problem child on your hands as well. So you might as well keep it and then just ruin yourself.
Brilliant.
And okay. we're here to watch it as well. Oh. If we can document it as well, that would be even better. We'll document your demise.
What, with the... with
everything, you
okay.
know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, it won't take long. I'm sure the Mini will be coming up soon. Which, that'll be another demising episode. Yeah. And you've bought the wrong car.
Yeah, you have. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Anyway, Taylor, what about you?
Not a massive amount.
Yeah.
Mainly, I put my 6 Series into storage for the winter in our new storage unit.
Yeah. How did that go?
Had a bit of an incident.
With?
A fence.
Okay. Hopefully not with the 6 Series.
Not with the 6 Series. Yeah. No, I put it into storage. My mate Sal followed me down there.
Yeah.
And then I got in his car and we drove off, got a coffee, and then realized that we left his jump pack in the storage unit.
Yeah.
So I drove back. And then the gate was shut.
Mm.
And then I was like manoeuvring. I accidentally reversed into a fence in his car.
We've not even been in a month, man.
And I broke the fence as well.
Oh, Christ.
And you took that really well?
No, I got really pissed off.
Okay.
Which car were you in that you backed into?
I was in a Honda CR-V.
Oh, you do love a CR-V.
I do love a CR-V. Yeah, and he bought it, and it was a one-owner car, absolutely mint, with all the paperwork in it and everything. It was, and the interior was immaculate. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Taylor, do you want to tell your little Copart thing of what Sal did when you bought it at Copart?
With BCA?
Oh, BCA, sorry.
Oh, yeah. So he bought it from BCA. Really nice car. And you know what? I love a Honda CR-V.
Yeah, we know that.
I've always wanted to turbo one.
Okay. Yeah.
I just have this urge, this desire to just fit a turbo. I don't want to do anything else to it.
Yeah.
I want to leave the suspension
standard. Because it's
perfect
in every other
way. Perfect. Yeah. I just want to put a turbo on it.
Okay.
And I want to make it go... Yeah. Anyway, he's bought this car and he's walking up and the lady, you know, gave us the keys and whatever, and she's checking the pit thing and getting the little key box out and whatever. And he's walked up. He's gone, oh, this is nice. And he's buzzed around the back, he's opened the boot and he's got the little table out. You know,
oh,
the boot
the
floor.
Table.
And he's put it in front and he's just gone, what do you think of my table? And the woman's just laughing. She's like, what is going on? She found it quite funny, to be fair. But yeah, we were walking around BCA, there's just a CR-V table in the middle of the thing.
Oh, is that the story?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How are you?
Fair. But
anyway,
yeah.
He bought this mint CR-V and I smashed it into the fence at our storage unit.
Is it actually done damage to the car?
No, because it's got a spare wheel on the boot, so it's just the spare wheel pressed up against the fence.
Oh, bloody
hell. The fence, on the other hand, is in poor overall condition.
So that's why you asked for our new landlord's telephone number?
Yes.
Yeah, so you didn't actually tell me why you needed it. You just said, I need it for whatever it was.
Yeah.
I've just put my car in storage. I need his telephone. Yeah, I need his not telephone. That I've just smashed up his entire place.
Well, not the whole place.
The farm is on fire.
Just a bit of the fence.
All right. What have you been up to then, apart from smashing up stuff?
Not a massive amount. I've been tidying up my unit because I'm getting a new unit in a few weeks.
Okay,
so
nice.
I'm swapping with a guy called David who's got a unit next to mine.
Yep.
My unit currently is Ant Anstead's old unit. It's where he started off his trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a slightly smaller unit, but it's brand new.
Oh, nice.
And I'll be able to put a lift in it and go full height. Because at the moment, I can only lift a car half height, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to do a gearbox service on a Volkswagen Touareg V10 TDI, which, as it turns out, is quite a fiddle because you have to sit on the floor and get covered in gearbox oil.
You do like sitting down, though.
Yeah.
I will say the biggest issue with your current unit, though, Taylor, is the fact that there's about 20,000 holes in the roof.
Oh, is there?
There's a few, but it adds to the character.
Look, if you ever watch one of Taylor's videos, just look in the background and you'll just see the gaps of light just coming in everywhere.
Is it like a YouTube channel?
No, no.
I have, it's called Taylor Made Cars Official because someone on this podcast stole my name.
Write in if it was you.
No,
I want to invite you to the next podcast.
Wait. Can we buy it?
Buy what?
Yeah, write in. I will buy it.
Buy it, yeah.
Obviously not.
Obviously, yeah.
No.
And then the price is going up like a personalised number plate.
Right. Well, anyway, so I'm swapping units. So I'm getting a new one in a couple of weeks' time when I can get my lift out and swap it all over.
Yeah.
So I'm quite excited for that, actually. Yeah. I've been really excited for that. I've been working on my Peugeot 205.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just got that back from the body shop again because I had to do a few more bits to it. And I've bought some new trims for the bumpers. I'm going to repaint the plastic bits. No, very expensive.
How much is trim?
£285 just for the little red bits. Yeah, they cut a lot. Yeah.
Those really thin red plastic bits?
Yeah, they're not plastic, they're metal.
Are they?
Are they?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that case, £285 bargain.
Original Peugeot as well. I wanted it all done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been doing that, just cleaning it all up, and I'm just going to get ready to put that in winter storage as well. It's got to go to ASD tuning for a few more bits. I've got to get the rev counter working and a few little bits. But I love that little car.
Yeah, it's a cool car.
I absolutely love it. I did not break down in it the other day, but I hadn't driven it in a while and the battery was a bit flat.
Yeah.
So I jump started it and I took it to a petrol station and it wouldn't start. Because it had a flat battery.
Oh.
And I had to, luckily it's quite light. There was no one in the local area.
Did you bump start it by yourself?
Yeah. So I pushed it all the way to the back of the petrol station, to the little car park bit.
Yeah.
And it's a slight slope. And I managed to push it as fast as I could. I did it four times. I was very out of breath.
I would love to have seen that.
But on the fourth go...
If anyone works at that petrol station that has CCTV, please send it in.
It's just a video of me pushing the phone backwards and forwards.
Can you imagine? It's like,
station.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh my God.
I was there. By the way, I've got a YouTube channel called Taylor Made Cars.
Anyway, on the fourth go, I managed to get it going. And I got it back to the unit and stuck it on charge.
So no one came over the tannoy. You know, usually when they say, get off your mobile phone.
No, I think they were just looking out the window going, what is this guy doing?
Amazing.
He's just pushing his car backwards and forwards.
Like just taking it for a walk.
Yeah. So I love my little Peugeot.
Yeah.
It's such a good little car.
Good.
And I really enjoy it. Obviously, I am still on a bit of a buy-in ban. I'm not buying, but I have got a couple of extra cars.
You
do?
Yeah, I was about to interject there. Yeah.
So I've now got the 130i that used to belong to you and used to belong to Car Throttle.
Yeah.
They did a little series on zhuzhing it up at BDS Motorsport.
Yep.
And it's got a few little jazzy bits on it.
It does, 300 horsepower.
It has got 300 horsepower. And I'm quite excited because I was going to tie it up and sell it. But last year, I really wanted to get out and do some track time.
Okay.
And I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And this year, I want to push myself. I think I'm going to get a set of coilovers for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a set of tires and wheels.
Doesn't it have coilovers? It's got all of that stuff, doesn't it?
No.
No.
Oh.
I'm going to take the interior out and I'm going to go on track with it. And I think Rory wants to come.
I do. Oh. I want to learn to get better at track driving.
Yeah.
Because I definitely am the slowest out of the three of us by quite some margin.
Oh, a country mile.
Maybe not slower than Tom Lenth, though.
No one's slower than Tom Lenth.
Oh, yeah, he's really slow. And he's old as well, but he is quite frail.
Please send him this clip.
But yeah, so I really want to get back out on track and just do, you know, I would really like to do Brands Hatch. I've never done Brands. I'd like to do Bedford as well. I'd like to do Cadwell again. I've done Cadwell before. Yeah, I love Cadwell. You know, maybe Castle Combe, because I've only ever done that with a caravan attached.
Bloody hell. You know, that is a throwback, isn't it?
And, you know, a few more. I really want to get out there and just do a few more tracks.
Well, it's a perfect car to do it with, isn't
it? And I think it will be reliable, but also good fun. It's rear-wheel drive. I've only ever had front-wheel drive track cars.
Yeah.
And it's just a bit different. Yeah. And I think it's the right amount of power to have to go on track.
Yeah, I think 300 horsepower is quite a lot.
Yeah, but it's not too slow. It's not too fast. Yeah. It's not like a dangerous amount of power. And it's quite linear because it's NA.
Yeah.
So I'm quite excited about that. I purposely not touched it because I know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I'll get really carried away and then spend loads of money on it. And then it will sit around over winter and I'll go, oh, I'm going to sell it because I've been loaned on it. So when spring comes round, I'm going to start zhuzhing it.
All right.
Then we and Rory are going to go and smash it up.
Nice, okay.
And I've also done a deal with you on the KN.
You have, yeah. Sharon.
Sharon, the KN. I've no idea why.
Yeah. You've got to save a stray.
But I've got to save a stray.
Yeah. That is literally the reason why.
Yeah.
It's because I want to crush it.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's too good.
Yeah, it's too good. Why? It's done like 260,000 or
well, why haven't you saved it then?
Because I'm busy, man.
It's been sat in our car park for over a year now.
No, it has not. That is a lie.
It's been gone away. Broken for over a year.
Yes, and I've been asking about it a lot.
It's been nearly a year.
Yeah, wow. It's just been sitting outside a garage, not getting fixed.
Yeah, because then they found out that it needed a part that basically Porsche refused to sell separately, but no one else sells. And
it'll be available on eBay or Facebook or
whatever. But anyway,
just get it fixed.
I've ordered some bits for it.
You have, good.
It's broken.
Yeah,
it's broken.
It is, but not for long.
Not for long.
So yeah, other than that. Same amount of cars. I've been zhuzhing up my 330D.
Yeah.
I serviced it yesterday. I bought some white mirror caps for it. You'll
Fantastic.
Be pleased to know.
Good, yeah.
Getting rid of the carbon fiber ones.
Thank you.
I put a new under tray on it. Which
How about the spoiler? Nice fit.
The spoiler I'm going to keep, but it's going to go satin black, not gloss black, because that's how it should be from the factory.
Okay, all right.
And I've got Apple
What's that
CarPlay
like?
For
Leicester
it.
Leicester instead of Birmingham spec then.
Ooh. Yeah, it's Leicester spec.
Oh, Apple CarPlay. I want to get Apple CarPlay for my Range Rover.
You should sell that car.
No, I shouldn't. I should keep it forever.
You should get a private plate for that car and then keep
it. I should.
No, you should sell it.
Unlike Taylor, don't say what it is because otherwise someone will buy it and then try and sell it to you.
Yeah.
If you don't sell it, I'm going to try and buy one and I'm going to make sure mine's nicer than yours. Okay.
What is the number plate that you've got? Is it Tay 15 or something? Tay 14 or something? Because I'm going to buy that. The T4Y.
Are you just trying to piss me off?
14 or 15.
What is this newfound thing of I'm just going to go around and buy loads of stuff to piss Taylor off? What is this newfound thing?
No, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to get
Why has this become a thing?
I thought this was just a thing that he does.
This is just a thing, you know. Yeah.
Obviously, channel's done quite well. I'm just going to go around and buy loads of shit to piss Taylor off.
And then at the bottom, you know, you can put your logo. I'm going to put tailor-made cars. Not official, because I've got tailor-made cars now. Please write
stick
in,
all of your air fresheners and stickers all over it. And be like, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I will set fire to your hair. Other than that, no update. Oh, 540i, hopefully coming back in the next couple of days.
Oh, really?
Very powerful. I quote, James has said, this should be a 200-mile-an-hour car.
Bullshit.
I shit you
not. Not with that gearbox.
No. It's a 6-speed M5 gearbox from factory with a large case disc.
There's only one way to find out.
He said it should do 200 mile an hour. It's no longer got 155 mile an hour limiter on it.
Okay, fine. Well, maybe you go out on that. I'll go out on my M5.
I am worried that all my trims will fly off, though.
I'm more worried that your wheels will fall off.
Probably. I've already lost one in that car. But so next few days... The power figures of that car blow my mind. It's a lot more than I expected, and I'm mega excited.
Good. Well, and we look forward to hearing about that next.
Yeah, and apparently he's done a lot of dyno runs. It's been, touch wood, really reliable.
Oh, nice. Good.
So, yeah, well very done. Excited well done, James. About that.
What have we got in here? What have we got in here? Chris from Merch is back. What have we got?
It's me. If we look in the box.
That's in the box.
One-handed. Look at this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone, but it's that time again.
Oh. It's Christmas time.
Yeah, so I'm looking at an Auto Alex advent calendar.
Oh.
Yeah, with little doors.
Yeah.
And behind the doors are wise sayings. So those are on the shop.
And none of that would be possible without our fantastic sponsor, Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Yes, I'm talking to you. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. And whether it's stickers, t-shirts, or even fantastic calendars that you should buy now that you're trying to sell, Shopify simplifies selling in person and online. And it even covers all of your sales channels. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. But not only that, because Shopify is also full of industry-leading tools to supercharge your growth, giving you complete control over your business and your brand without having to learn new skills in design or coding, as well as supporting you every step of the way with their award-winning help and extensive business course library. But as I say every single week, do not take my word for it, because we've got Chris, oh wise one, here from the Autonic Shop, who can tell you a little bit more about why Shopify has helped supercharge our growth on the various businesses.
You don't have to be an expert like me.
Oh, really?
No.
So I could do it?
Yeah, it's that easy.
Okay, yeah.
It's that easy.
Okay, so you just go onto the website and you just go, boop, 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 and then you've got your own website.
I want to customize it, my checkout. Mm-hmm. Boop, boop, boop. I want to put a new product on there.
Boop, yeah. Boop, boop. Okay.
Easy. It really is easy, but if you are an expert, you can dig in real deep.
Or as you like to say, if you are a nerd.
I am a nerd. You can dig in there, you can do analytics, you can do coding. If you're up for a bit of coding.
Yeah.
And I've actually learned quite a bit of coding from doing it.
Because that's cool.
You know what? I want to do this thing. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah. I hack in.
Fantastic.
For the mainframe.
So you would still recommend that people get Shopify?
Yeah. Fantastic. I use it.
You
every
do
day.
Use it. You do actually use it every single day. Yeah, yeah. So then if it's time for you to get serious about selling, then get Shopify today. You can sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/autoalex. That is shopify.co.uk/autoalex. This is possibility
powered by Shopify. Shopify.
Woo! Back to the podcast. Should we move on now to, we've had an email from Guy. A guy called Guy, he's 18 years old, and he's written, "Hey, up bastards, hope you're all doing well. By the way, I am from Yorkshire, so it's a perfect opportunity for Alex to break out his incredible northern accent." It's like he's reading it, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
"I could do with a bit of advice on which genre of car to buy."
Genre?
Genre.
What's such genre?
Which version? What, you know, it's just genre of music. Have you never heard that? Well, yeah. Like, do you like hip hop or do you like?
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah.
What is your genre of music?
My genre of music. It depends what mood I'm in.
Taylor Swift.
I'm bored now.
I do.
The problem I'm facing. No, he said, "I'm 18 and have been looking to buy my second car and upgrade from my little Corsa, and I've not been able to decide to save my life. I've gotten so wound up that I don't know whether to scratch my watch or wind my ass."
Scratch? Oh, okay.
What a fantastic phrase from an 18-year-old. He is so wise beyond his years.
Oh, I get it now.
It's good, isn't it? "The problem I'm facing is whether or not to go all out and buy an obtainable dream of mine, or whether to buy something newer and flashy for the same money to fit in with the crowd. Now, this dream car of mine is a bit unorthodox, but it has been a lifelong ambition of mine to own a pickup truck." That's unexpected, wasn't it? "I live out in the countryside and grew up around family with pickups and 4x4s, and I've always fancied one myself. My absolute dream has always been to own a pickup with two gears and a CB radio, and this is still very much the case. The issue I'm having now is realizing how expensive this will be to achieve, considering both purchasing and insuring. Saying this, money isn't necessarily an issue, but it's more realizing what other cars I could have for the same price tag, e.g. a nice, low-mileage, good-condition Audi or BMW. I know this sounds very shallow, but I think everyone is subconsciously guilty of worrying about others' opinions and how we appear, especially at my age. All of my friends live in the city and all have nice sports cars, and we all go to car meets together. So the bottom line is, do I buy a flash car like a newish German that goes like shit off a shovel to follow the crowd and fit in and get a truck in a few years? Or just go for it and buy an old truck that's as rare as rocking horse shit and stand out like a cow at Crufts?" Again, another fantastic phrase. When's the last time you saw a cow at Crufts?
I've never.
They don't exist, man.
Oh, my God.
"Reliability and maintenance isn't an issue, as I'm a mechanic myself and surrounded by other mechanically minded people. Thanks for all the great content. Your hard work doesn't go unnoticed, Guy."
Right.
Rory, Taylor, fine, Taylor. Right. Here we go. Out
what
with it.
What you want
is
a vehicle, look no further, that does both of those things.
Okay.
Flashy.
Yeah.
Standout. Rare.
No.
pickup truck.
I swear, if you say a jumbuck, I'm going to stab you both.
Is it a proton?
The proton jumbuck. Oh, for God's sake. Go out there and get yourself a proton jumbuck based on a Mitsubishi Evo 4. Ooh. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Rare.
Yeah.
Fast. Ooh. Probably.
Oh.
And it's a pickup truck.
I don't think this is what he's thinking.
No, you want a jumbuck and put an Evo engine in it and right. four boom no, drive.
But does it have the two gear levers? No.
No, but you don't need the two gear
he
levers.
He wants
if
two
you've got
gear
a big,
levers, man.
Big enough gear lever big of enough. Your own.
All right. There you go. So what are we saying then?
Jumbuck.
No, shut up about the
jumbuck.
Car. Jumbuck. Should he follow his dream right now and buy the car that he wants, or should he follow the crowd?
If it was me, I'd go for the pickup.
No, if it was you, you'd tart around in a nice new car, wouldn't
but
you?
But he's 18.
Yeah.
I think you've got to go for the flashy stage.
I think the thing is, at the end of the day, 18-year-olds get into car crashes. Yeah. That is a statistic. It's proof. Like
it's a what?
It's a statistic. It's proof that he will happen.
I haven't got in a car crash.
The odds are quite high for an 18-year-old to be in a car crash.
I never did. I never did.
I know, just because you two did.
Yeah, but he's so sensible. That? He's got these amazing phrases.
I know, but I'm just saying it's quite likely that he will do it at some point.
Okay, fine.
And does it? I would say when you're young, it's better to be in something a bit safer with a bit more mod cons.
Before you continue, on the flip side, if he's going to be in something flashy in German and goes like shit off a shuffle, he's definitely going to get in a crash.
Yeah, I know, but at least he's in something modern.
If he's in a pickup truck, bumbling about at 50 miles an hour.
I can absolutely guarantee you that you would be better off in a crash in something like my 330D than a pickup truck.
Oh, 100%, but you're more likely to get in a crash with something like an M140i, which is what he's talking about.
I don't know. You've got to think in the weather in the UK. He could have like a little... Oh, I've just slid off the... Oh, no, I'm in a tree.
A ladder chassis.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're
look,
being
all I'm saying is, if he's 18, he hasn't been driving that long, I would say hone your craft first.
Yeah, but he's going to either hone it in a pickup truck or something very fast. For him, there is clearly no in between.
He said flashy. That doesn't necessarily mean
he also said something that goes like shit off a shovel.
Yeah, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's 18. He's not going to be able to get insured on something that goes shit off a shovel.
He said money wasn't really an issue. So yes, he is.
No, it doesn't. No, it's still... You can't get insured.
Well, just say that he is. Say he's going to spend 10 grand on insurance.
No.
Look, what are we saying?
Jumbuck.
Okay, fine, jump out.
No,
I say, guy, sod following people like a sheep. Do what you want to do. If your dream is to own a pickup truck, go and buy it. You won't be able to keep up with your mates and their flashy cars. Do your own thing, bumble about, love it, because you're clearly not into the flashy stuff. Neither am I.
I think he is.
No, he's not. He's saying, should I follow the crowd and be like all of my friends, or should I follow my heart? Remember, Rory, you have a heart. Follow your heart.
No,
man.
But he wouldn't even be contemplating it if it wasn't something he's interested in.
That is true. He's obviously a bit fancy.
He's on
the
fence.
Flashy. Look, just buy a jumbuck, pimp it up, right? Make it fast.
We're really not helping. We're supposed to be helping people,
no,
man.
Look, I just think you're 18. You've got all of your life to get the car that he wants. I just think just you want a car that will go as well. Let's face it, if he gets an old world pickup with the two gear knob, whatever blower, he's going to be there trying to start it on a cold winter's day going...
He's a mechanic.
No.
It doesn't... What, are you telling me that this mechanic over here doesn't have car problems?
He's a mechanic, man.
I never have car problems.
He was just telling us how he had to push his car four times back in...
battery, because I hadn't used it.
Guy,
I don't have as many car problems as you.
Right, mummy, no. Shut up.
You've got a gasket problem and all your paint's fallen off.
Guy, buy the pickup truck. Buy it, man.
Just get a jumbuck.
Don't do it, guy. Just get a jumbuck and pimp it.
Pimp the jumbuck. Because you won't be happy in something flashy.
I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying don't do it now.
Do it now.
No.
Anyway, guy, we're not helping you. Get a bloody pickup truck.
To be fair, I bought a flashy car when I was 18.
Yeah, how did that go? You sold it after 6 months. Yeah.
No, well, that was the second flashy car. When I was 18, I bought my second car.
Yeah.
Which was... Technically, my second car was the 6 Series at the time, but I didn't drive it for a year.
Yeah.
I bought a Techno Violet 328 M Sport Coupe.
Yeah.
Lowered on the flashiest wheels you've ever seen. They looked like the wheels off your 911.
Oh, okay, nice.
But it was really low and they were polished and it was very
I did flashy. The same as well.
And I did, you know, just to drive it fairly leery.
Yeah.
As you do at the time. And then I sold that and got an M140i, brand new, my first only ever brand new.
It's just the same as me. Flashy car. I went and bought a Vauxhall Insignia
And then,
exactly right. How about this? How about a compromise? How about a compromise then for Guy? If he doesn't get something like an M140 or an Audi S3 or something, why don't you get something older, like an E46 M? I mean, you can't afford that, or like 328 or so.
That is because it still is a modern car ish.
Yeah,
and it still will be able to drive.
I've just thought of something amazing.
I just thought of something as well.
No, let me go not, first.
Oh, wait, go on then. Yeah,
get yourself like an E46 339, an interesting colour.
Cut the back off.
There you go. Everyone's happy. You're a mechanic. Get it done.
Buy
we want to see
the flashy
it.
Car and turn sorry, it off.
And how did that go for you when you did that?
It went swimmingly, and then we had COVID. You know,
it was swimmingly, yeah, we had because COVID, it was full
man.
Of water.
We had COVID, man. We weren't allowed to drive it.
We should really, we should create another pickup.
We should do that, yeah.
I think we are.
What about that big purple thing?
I was literally about to say.
Oh, my word.
If we took the boot lid off, it would be a pickup truck, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, should we move on to the news, Rory? What's going on in the world of news?
Let me get the news up.
Should we start with the YouTube news?
YouTube news. Mike Ferney has left DriveTrain.
Yo, we bastard, wait, he's done that. he sent me a message today saying, ah, you bastard, thanks very much for the share.
Same.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, he sent mine first, though, before
all right.
Yours.
Okay, all right, get your phone out. Get your phone out. Does yours start with a 14?
Yeah.
Okay. Now yours is the next number. What's your next number?
What's your next number? You go first.
No. Yours. No. I gave you the first number. What's your next number? Just the first number.
4.
Okay, same.
Oh, really?
Yep. And the next number for me is 3. What? Let me see.
Mine's 1440.
Oh, Michael Bastard.
He messaged me first.
No, waited on that. Right.
Have some of that.
We're cancelling the news.
1439.
Oh! How am I last on the list? Right, Mike, we're done. We're through.
So anyway, yeah, Mike has left.
No one cares. No one cares about Mike.
He started his own channel. Go check it out.
Yeah.
It's just called Mike Ferney.
Oh, is it?
Mike, you could have been a bit more imaginative with the name there.
Is it not called Mike Ferney Official?
No, okay, no. To be fair, he's now had to... I did look at this. Mike had his own channel before, but rather than using that channel, he's created a new one. So now there is a channel called Mike Ferney, and then in brackets, old one.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike's got his new channel. He's going to be doing his own stuff, what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Similar sort of, you know, he just wants his own creative freedom. Similar reasons why you left, I think, really. The next piece of news is about licenses.
Oh.
And it is about the fact that a quarter now of all licenses taken last year were an automatic license.
Oh. I've only got an automatic license.
Well, that's very worrying.
Is that why you crashed a CRV into a fence?
Yeah, I crunched it into gear. And okay. Then
so out of interest, was it even a thing that you questioned when you took your license?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, you just went straight for...
The fact when I was growing up, not I would say even well, like...
Did they even have automatics back then?
No, horses. Okay. Horses are all manual.
Abacus.
But like 8 years ago, I remember Ethan's wife had... Well, she's only done her automatic license. And he said, oh yeah, she's going for an automatic license. I was like, holy shit, you can just do an automatic license? That's mental. Mm. But now it's becoming the norm, isn't it? That's what you're saying.
So yeah, but basically the AA are saying this is driven by the fact that the UK's ban on new petrol and diesel cars, which typically are a mix of manual and automatic, are now coming in for electric cars only past 2030. It's a lot of people are like, well, why do I need a manual if every single electric car is going to be an automatic?
Yeah, that's a fair assumption, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of young people now are just going, oh, well, I don't need to. In the future, I'm only going to have an automatic, which is crazy, isn't it? Like, a lot of people just will never even have a manual license.
But a lot of people in 2030 and onwards won't be that interested in cars because they'll be so boring.
No, I think there'll always be a market for the cars.
There'll be a market for cars, but there won't be such a market for enthusiasts.
Do you think it's going to be like how motorbikes is now?
Well, I mean, the average age of a motorcycle rider is 55.
Which is just getting older and older and older.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to be the way with cars as well? Where it'll just get older and older and older. You'll still get the occasional young person who gets like really interested. You know, like, you know, you and Gareth and Chris, whatever, are bikers. But that's...
Yeah, but
that's not normal.
Like being a motorcyclist as well, it's so difficult to get into. It's so expensive and so laborious. Yeah. Like car enthusiasts, like we are really lucky because there are so many old cars that we can get into really easily. But in 15 years time or even 10 years time, like finding these cars is going to be difficult.
I still don't get that. Why, like the grandfather rights of, why is it that someone who was born at a certain year can ride a motorbike, but someone who was born after it then needs to pay a load of money and do a load of tests?
Because they want to make more money out of all of us.
But like, what, why is that the case though? Is, you know, it is a bit stupid, isn't it? That you can't say it's down to safety, because if it was down to safety, you'd remove it and you'd make everyone have to take a license.
Yeah, maybe in more recent times, more people have been getting into bikes, and maybe people are, you know, governments realize it's a bit dangerous, so they do actually need some sort of training. And also, it's a good way to make money.
No, it's a good way to
make
money.
Or it's because they realized that they should have a rule on it, so they brought it in, but then realized they couldn't implicate it on the people that already rode bikes and were allowed, because they'd kick up a fuss about it.
Yeah. They'd get all their teeth out, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would, yeah. And start growling.
Yeah, gummy growls.
Yeah.
Like Tom Lenthal. Mm. Yeah.
I still think it's going to be a crazy moment when maybe it's not even offered.
I am a bit nervous about the future, because I don't want like all of our old toot to disappear. I get it. I get that we're moving into new times, and you know, I don't want to seem like a dinosaur, but I do worry about it. Because I think my main worry is that it will be really difficult to enjoy the stuff that we like, and it may not even be possible. I really hope that's not the case. That's the only thing I'll really worry about.
On the flip side at the moment, though, sorry to interrupt, is the fact that I'm looking at this big purple elephant, and it is tax and MOT exempt. So the older stuff is actually quite easy to get into now.
But I want to talk about that, though, because I feel like a time ago, 40 years old car was a classic. But I think we can all agree now a 20-year-old car is pretty much a classic. Mm. And I feel like there's not enough of the exemption of the 40-year-old rule is too far now, because there's cars that are 30 years old, like a 1990s car. Is you're at the point where that needs to have a slight exemption to it, because it's not a modern car, it's not a car you're going to be driving every day, but it is something that still should have like a slight lenience on the tax or whatever. Because
look,
you've got a lot of these big engined, whatever, you know, like the Range Rovers and all this stuff of their day.
My Touareg.
The Touaregs. They're £720 a year to tax.
They are also...
Yeah, my Range Rover is £720.
Yeah, it's mental. But you're not going to then do that when it's 90... It's another 10, 15 years from now, are you?
But they are also really bad for the environment, and there are still quite a few of them about. Whereas I think stuff like that really doesn't come out very often.
No, but I'm talking about 1990s. So it's like my Defender, for example, is a car that's a classic car. You're not going to be driving that every single day. But I've still got another 10 years to wait until that thing's a classic.
I think I do understand the government, because you've got to have a balance of it being something that you use every now and again, or people are buying slightly older cars just to avoid all the costs of it all. You've got to have that balance.
I think, Rory, your point is that what we consider classics, you would like the exemption on, right?
Yeah.
And the reason we'd like the exemption on those is because they are relatively rare. Because the really old stuff was built to last. Case in point, this big purple thing.
Yeah.
Stuff like E46s and stuff, they rust. There are so many issues, they get thrown in the bin and everything like that. But for us, they're still rare, but they weren't built to last. So we want that kind of exemption to be brought back by about 10 years.
Yeah.
So we can enjoy them, and then we can fix them up and spend more money on them. But at the moment, everything is kind of rotting away, it's failing, and it's still expensive, which means that these cars like E46s and stuff are going to get thrown in the bin even more often.
Yeah, there's so many of these cars now that are just getting scrapped, because they're just... So it just doesn't make sense. Like, the Range Rovers. You're now talking that you can get there's quite a lot of cars that you can get that it's cheaper to buy the car than it is to tax the car, which is mental. Yeah. That is crazy.
But that has to happen, because that's how these cars become rare and cool and interesting.
Yeah.
And they will get scrapped, and they will get broken for parts, and they will get thrown away. And it makes the nice ones cooler. That's literally how it...
And it makes the nice ones even nicer as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, those cars, and like your Spitfire and stuff, Rory, they weren't built to last. They really weren't. They weren't even galvanized. You had cars like
that. Are you saying
that
car?
Yeah. That was, granted, it's hand-built, whatever. But a lot of cars from that era weren't.
No.
You know, they were, before they were even 10 years old, being welded up for MOTs and patched up and stuff like that. They used to rot like mad.
Yeah.
But it's your Spitfire is a lucky one. It's escaped. It's spent 30, 40 years in a garage and it's got through it.
And now it's going to sit outside. No, it's not. It's going to go back in a garage.
But you've got to remember, though, that back in its day was like an MX-5. They were everywhere. There was loads of them. And they all got thrown away. And that is your car, the rare ones that have escaped and got through it.
30 years, I would say, is more of a...
Yeah, but then...
Shall we lobby government?
Yeah. Because like Phil is a classic car.
Modern classic.
Yeah.
I would not expect Phil to be MOT and tax exempt.
I still think it's young enough. A Mark 1 MX-5 should be.
Okay, I don't think it's quite there yet.
I don't. I think we should not mention it and leave it where it is so that the government don't take it away altogether. Because I know what they're like. We'll bring it up and they'll go, why have we still got this rule? We'll get rid of this.
Oh, we were listening to the Auto Alex podcast the other day. we should make some changes.
All right, anyway.
Yeah.
That was, we've strayed from the licenses debate. But I think it's just more of a show of how times are changing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, my next bit of news is how times are changing.
Oh, bloody hell.
So, you know, we were talking about how well the Renault 5 was selling and everything.
Yeah.
It was like going, it did better than the Model Y, which, you know, the Model Y has been a leading sell. Anyway, JQ7's just come out, smashed them both.
What is JQ7? I'm sorry.
It's like one of those sort of SUV hybrid sort of looking things.
Is it one of those?
Well, it's a fully electric car, but it's
plastic.
But
car.
Does it have everything? And does it do everything well?
It that is the thing with these Chinese cars.
Yeah,
they are just quite good.
Yeah. So we're talking what better tech, better spec, better range.
Yeah.
Than anything from Europe.
Yes.
And cheaper.
Yeah, which is why everyone keeps selling them. So much so that for the first time in quite a long while, the Nissan Qashqai has been knocked off its ranks.
Oh.
And the JQ7 has actually sold more than that.
Really?
I mean, that's not a terrible thing, really. The Qashqai is quite shit.
Yeah. But it is a car that was sold, like, you know, you look on our roads, there are thousands.
It's a lot of Qashqais.
And it is a real sign of the times, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Chinese have come in and they are dominating.
And this is only in the last, year, really, this has been happening?
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to see how long these cars last. Because they depreciate fabulously. Mm. Like, it won't be long until we could buy these for 500 quid.
Next year.
Mm.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll smash it up.
And then people will just throw them away. Yeah. And they'll
recycle. One car that I really want that to happen to is a Taycan Gran Turismo.
You want one of those?
What?
Because
you like them.
I like them.
Oh, I love the look of a Taycan Gran Turismo.
And I was thinking, imagine how cool it would be to buy one of them and stick a Porsche engine in it.
I think, who was I talking to yesterday? They aren't going to be putting ice engines in Taycans.
No, they're not.
I'm pretty sure.
Really? Yeah,
unless I dreamt it. Who was I speaking
to?
Did
you dream it?
Look it up. I might have dreamt it, actually. Yeah,
question.
Yeah.
If you were to go out tomorrow and buy a brand new car to daily drive, what would you buy?
Brand new car to daily drive?
I would buy a Taycan Gran Turismo.
Even though it's lecky?
Yeah.
And you're not going to swap it, realistically, because it's a brand new car.
I'd be really predictable and I would get myself a 5 Series Touring.
You buy a brand new, the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
The big elephant one.
Yeah.
Even though I think they don't do them in diesels anymore. It has to be a hybrid.
I know. But that for me is the perfect size vehicle. It does everything I need.
I know exactly what I'd buy.
Go on.
I really want one.
Oh, BYD Seal? I can see you.
Definitely not. I'd rather put pins in my eyes.
A Renault 5?
No. I would buy. A Renault 5 Turbo. I'd buy an Alpina B3.
Oh.
A 3 Series Touring Alpina.
Okay.
They're very expensive.
For a daily driver?
Yeah. They're very expensive, but they're really nice.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't look like Porsche are going to be putting ice engines.
Who said that to
me? There is no information on that. The only thing that there is basically about Taycan sales have dropped 49% and China demand for them has dropped massively as well.
Yeah.
So Porsche have been making key decisions to reverse its all-out.
Oh, okay. Sort of. Well, I've just made up some news, but if it does actually happen... Then you heard it here first.
Well, maybe we should do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I do find a bit mad is, you know, like a lot of these Chinese car manufacturers have come over here and dominated and all that. They've nicked all of our dealerships as well.
There's quite a few of them. Yeah,
a mate of mine went to a Land Rover dealer the other day and half of it was Land Rover or Jaguar Land Rover and the other half was Chery.
Really?
Or Cheery. What's a Chery?
I don't know.
they're selling cherries out of Land Rover, and the Ford dealerships had like Jakus and Bids and stuff.
Bloody hell.
There's another one. I can't remember what it is. Plastic.
Yeah, but you'd expect them to have dealerships. If they're selling this many cars, I'd be worried if they didn't have dealerships.
But they don't. They're nick either Ford dealerships or Land Rover and some of the others, and then they flog them out of there.
To be fair, I was looking at like Teslas. You can buy a Tesla now and not actually have to interact with anyone.
You go online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can order it and then it will tell you when it's there. You go there, you go up to the car with, like, you go to the dealership. You obviously can check in if you want.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to check in. And then it then lets you then walk up to it with your phone and then unlock it. And then you walk in and then drive away with your car. And
see,
that's it done.
I think that's part of the reason why people just look at these things as just appliances now, because there's no like experience, there's no bond or anything like
that. Well, most people do. It's like a mobile phone, isn't it? It's just an A to B mobile.
Surely buying a car should be like a bit of an event. It's like, it's the second most expensive thing that people own in general. Like, it's a house and then a car.
Mm.
It should be a bit of... I was watching Mark McCann's video the other day where he went into Harrods and spent £1.2 million pounds on a McLaren P1.
Really?
And it was the first car ever bought from Harrods.
Really?
And he got taken up into this penthouse special room.
Wow.
And, you know, this lady came out and assisted him and all this, and he walked around the car and all. And then they had to wait until the shop shut and take the doors off of Harrods. And the security
had it been sitting
tag
in there a while.
Yeah, well, not a while, but yeah, they obviously buzzed it in there, and I'd like that one. And they had to move this Miura out of the way that was worth £2 million. And it's like there was people watching it all happen. I know it's not quite the same, but like, surely you'd want to go into a dealership and say, "Oh, I would like this, and I'd like to look at the paint and the materials."
Yeah, but a lot of people are just online the whole time, and they just select everything, and they just want a nice, easy life.
I know, but I guess that's partly what it's like, how you'd order a washing machine.
Yeah.
You just go on like, I love the white one.
Like, I do agree. I feel like buying a car is still something you have to do in person.
It should be a bit of an experience.
Again, is this just a show of how similar all cars have become? Electric?
It's literally an appliance.
You know what you're getting. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, you still want to like sit in and feel what it feels like to drive.
But people don't care. That's the thing. People don't care. We are a very rare breed of car enthusiasts.
If I tomorrow went out and bought my Alpina B3 Touring, I'd want to go to Sitna, Nottingham.
Of course you would.
And have them pull the thing off of it and go, "Oh, here's your new car," and the little plaque next to it. Yeah. You get pictures with it and all that. It's part of the bond, isn't it? It's a story.
All right. Okay. Can we move on?
Sure.
Can we move on to the game?
Sure. It's how much that?
How much that?
Okay.
Here we go.
The first one.
You have to explain the game, man.
Okay. So the game is how much that?
Yeah.
And you have to work out how much a specific car was. What I've got on my list.
So we've done this two times or a few times before, but it's always been either me or Alex doing it. Yeah. So this is the first time Taylor's done
it. Yes. And it could be the last.
How much?
So how much a car was when it was new?
Yes. How much was a Land Rover Discovery 2 TD5 manual?
Brand new. How would you bring up that car?
Brand new.
Brand new. In what year?
The year it was released.
Oh, for crying out loud. He's not really done the research, has he?
No.
Was it 89 or something?
No,
that's no
Discovery 2. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, let me Google
well, like mid 90s, right?
No, 1998. Autumn 1998.
Okay.
In the spec that Rory's in, I've gone for the slightly higher spec.
So HSE. Yeah. Blah blah blah.
I'm gonna go 25,000
in 1998.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 19,000.
Rory wins this one.
Oh.
The figure is 35. What? Thousand wow.
35 grand in 1998.
35,000 pounds in 1998.
What is that in inflation, Taylor?
Oh, do I need to answer that?
Well, ideally, but that's okay.
Sorry, it's the last time.
You didn't tell me that.
You've been here the whole time we've done it.
Taylor, is it a lot of money?
Wait. All right, yes, it was lots.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Right.
When new?
Yeah.
In probably 2000 and. Jesus. Three.
Sorry, everyone at home.
How much was a BMW?
Yes.
E46.
Yes.
M3.
M3. Oh,
CSL.
M3 CSL. 66 double. So 66 double nine.
See, I'm going to go, it's like double supercar money for a CSL. So I'm going to go 78.
Bearing in mind they're worth about 120 grand now for a mint one.
Yeah, they're worth a lot, yeah.
When they were new,
yep.
In whatever year they were released,
yeah.
they were 58,000.
Yeah, really? They were a bargain back then.
And do you know how much a non-CSL was?
How much?
Like 30-odd?
£39,000.
Wow.
How much was the Volkswagen Touareg V10 TDI? Oh,
that's a good one. Rory, you're up.
41.
I'm going to go 52.
The answer is 55.
Oh!
£1,000.
See, I would have got them down to 52.
Oh, yeah, I would have got them down to 41.
Right, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of
money. That is a lot of money. God knows how much that is today, but that's a lot of money.
A lot? It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Well, with inflation, that would have been, what, same year CSL was what, sorry?
2003.
58,000.
Same year. Yeah. So what, 58, and then a V10 was 50.
55.
So you, for £3,000 more, you could have got a CSL.
Mm. Yeah, but you wouldn't have a V10.
No, but you would be in a better place now. In 1962,
how much
was a brand new Ferrari 250 GTO? 1962.
250 GTO. That's a really expensive one.
Yeah.
They're millions and millions. So, like 20 millions?
Like 30 million.
So 30 million. The one that sold in the most recent auction sold for $51.7 million. Dollars.
Wow.
£1,722.
It's a very specific number.
Yeah.
In 1962. Mm. I'm going to go quite a lot more than that. For £12,000.
In 1962, the Ferrari 250 GTO was £6,000.
Oh, where's that? I think that's me.
I think that's you.
Yeah.
£6,000.
£6,000.
And it's now worth $51.7 million.
But in 1962, £6,000 with inflation these days is?
Shall I Google that?
It's a lot.
I'll Google it.
No. I'll Google. Rory's Googling. I think he's Googling.
Yeah. All right. It's two for two.
Two for two.
Wait. What was... Give me
£6,000 in 1962.
Right.
112,000.
Okay.
How much was a Porsche 911 996 GT3 RS?
GT3 RS?
Oh,
your turn.
I'm going to say that a GT3 RS back then would have set someone back $82,000.
£78,000.
I've gone for 82.
The answer is...
Yes.
The 996 GT3 RS...
Yes.
...was £130,000.
Oh, shit!
Wait.
£130,000.
Wow. That feels like a very shallow victory for me on that one, but I will take it. So
that was in 2004.
Yeah. £130,000.
£235,000.
Wow. Can you imagine paying that for a 911? That's mental.
That's a lot.
Okay. If I win this, then I win everything. If you win it, then it's a draw and we'll have to call it a draw.
Okay.
Because we've got six cars.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have gone for five.
Yeah.
Five cars? Yeah, I win. Or seven. Right,
you'll like this one. In 2008, how much brand new was the Audi Q7 V12 TDI?
Ooh.
2007?
2008.
I'm going to go with £87,000.
I'm going to go £110,000.
So the normal one's £44,000.
Yep.
The V12 TDI... was £154,000.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wait, it's actually £154,175.
Holy shit.
In 2008.
In 2008. So
that is,
to put it into perspective, that is £110,000 more than a base model Q7.
Bloody hell.
How much do you think that is in today's money?
£250,000?
£250,000.
Bloody, imagine paying that for a Q7.
Why would you do that?
We got to find one for £1,500.
No wonder they said they only sold 30 of them.
30,
well,
was it?
No, I think they sold a bit more than that.
Bloody hell,
do you know,
incredible.
That is a car that one day, for no reason whatsoever, I'd just love to
have. Have you seen one used anywhere?
I've been offered one on Instagram. I got offered it a few months ago for £25,000.
And that was a £250,000 car?
Well, yeah.
With inflation, yeah. And with that, we're going to call it there. Thank you very much again for supporting us, loving us. We love you guys as well. And don't forget, we have got Matwood on the 23rd of November. So please, please, please get your tickets. There'll be a link below on YouTube. And our Christmas meet as well at Dunkerton's on the 2nd of December. Like I said, we're probably, what, nearly 70% sold by now. So yeah, we look forward to seeing you and chatting to your eyeballs and your ear holes next time on the Autoalytics podcast.
Which next time, yes, we'll be away in Vietnam.
I won't. No, you won't. You don't have an automatic license.
I'm not invited.
And with that, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. We love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.